We've certainly gotten used to cameras in public places. Even if the fixed cameras were not all over the place, everybody with a cell phone has a camera. So it should not come as a big surprise that the city of Medford just installed a series of cameras, but these are all about traffic and keeping it moving smoothly. The cameras are part of a larger system that changes traffic lights. Let's hear how it works. Alex Georgievich is our guest on The Exchange. He's the transportation manager for the city of Medford. Thanks for joining us today, Alex.
Thank you.
Tell us about the system. Let's talk about the old stuff first. So, I mean, at this point, when you approach a light, and I've gotten used to this over the years, you really need to be pretty close to the light behind the other cars. How are they triggered? How does a light decide when it's time to change?
Well, there's several different methods. The primary one used throughout the Rogue Valley is what we know, what are known as inductive loops, that are loops that are cut into the pavement, and as a metal object moves over them, it tells the traffic controller that there's a vehicle there waiting. And we also use other types of detection systems like cameras and radar, but are typically more with loops in the ground.
How much metal is required? I've noticed when you're on a bicycle, it doesn't seem like that's quite enough metal to set off the loop.
It depends on the bicycle, but we have loops that are tuned for bicycles, and we actually use loops to detect bicycles. So depending on the location, we actually encourage people to call us if their bikes aren't getting detected. So as little as a bike will detect be detected as a vehicle.
So there must be some inherent limitations with the inductive loops, or you'd be staying with them, I'm guessing. So what are some of the things that you're finding over the years that the sensing loops don't do?
Actually, the system that we've put in is less about the cameras and more about the fact that we've put a computer in every cabinet, traffic controller that's at every intersection. The loops are what communicate the data to this new controller device that has a different logic that allows it to operate differently and also to communicate between upstream and downstream signals. So the cameras are just a form of detection, and with the particular company we hired to and purchased the equipment from, that is their choice and is pretty common with adaptive signal timing, which is the type of system that we've put in here.
So the bigger issue is less the sensor, in this case a camera, in the old case the loop, than it is the guts of what is in the actual in the cabinet for changing the light.
Correct.
And so, given how computers have gotten smaller and more efficient over the years, I mean, is this a pretty tiny thing? Is that about iPad size or something?
No, it's actually a full-blown, what you would find on your desktop computer. It actually takes a lot of horsepower, so it's actually an i7 processor, if you're familiar with that. And it is a rack-mounted device that plugs into the cabinet along with a lot of other equipment that has went into this to allow the system to process the video, that processed video is counting the cars and counting delay and looking at both upstream and downstream conditions and trying to progress traffic along the Highway 62 corridor.
All right, so where are they installed at this point, the cameras?
So currently we have nine adaptive signals that are connected, and they start at the intersection of Table Rock or Central and Highway 238, then go to what is known as the Big X, which is Highway 99, Highway 62, where they come together, and that's right by the Rogue Valley Mall. And then progressing to the north, we go through the Rogue Valley Mall, the southbound I-5 off-ramp, the northbound I-5 off-ramp, Poplar and Highway 62, Delta Waters and Highway 62, Owen and Highway 62, and then Coker Butte and Highway 62.
So all the way on Highway 62, which is, in terms of traffic load, that is one of the big ones in the Medford area, isn't it?
It is. It carries more traffic than any other roadway in southern Oregon besides I-5 between the south and north Medford interchanges. So it is a fairly significant roadway. It serves a regional purpose as well as a commercial and industrial purposes, so carries a lot of vehicles.
All right, so you still have some inductive loops out there, lots of them apparently still, but the cameras in place on this set of traffic lights, nine of them as you pointed out, but these computers, so what's the major difference then, and what happens at these intersections that didn't used to happen in the older system?
Well, a standard traffic controller, we program a a timing program at each intersection based on traffic counts from past history, and we estimate future volumes, and then we create a timing plan that will serve a certain sequence and repeat again and again and again until we change plans, and we typically have two or three plans within a day. This system is cycle by cycle. It looks at traffic and can adjust itself and can even do what is called reservice. So if you're on a side street or in a left turn and there's a gap in traffic, it could let a few additional cars out if it knows that there's no upstream or downstream conditions that are going to conflict with it at the moment. So it is a much more intelligent system, and it is much more real time. It is counting the traffic. It is looking at pedestrian calls. It is looking at the overall corridor as well as the local intersection and making cycle-by-cycle changes.
Alex Georgievich is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about changes to the traffic light system in Medford involving the use of cameras and computers as well. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 541-552-6782 in the Medford-Ashland area. Elsewhere in the region, 800-838-3760 by email jx@jeffnet.org. So I'm struck by the thinking that particularly in the situation you just talked about where you could let a couple of cars through if there's nobody else coming the other way, it's kind of like having traffic cops back at the intersections from many years ago.
That would be the old form of traffic control prior to, well, actually, I won't even say prior to the traffic signal. I've actually witnessed it in Chicago about 10 years ago with, in peak hours, an officer on a horse directing traffic. So it is still used and is still an efficient method through certain times, and this is operating much like that. It is taking into account all of those moves, but trying to put emphasis, just like an officer would, on the heaviest move, and then but then allow all the other orderly movement to occur at the intersection.
So just so people understand, I mean, nobody is sitting at a control board somewhere looking at the cameras. The cameras are just used as sensors for the computers within the traffic cabinets?
Correct. The information is primarily being used by the computer that is in each intersection to detect the cars and also count how much what we call occupancy in each lane. So how many vehicles are in each lane and how much time it's going to need to serve that movement versus all of the other what we call eight phases at an intersection, each left turn, each through movement, each right turn that may need time will all be allocated time through a cycle. And that's what the camera's primary purpose is.
It sounds like under the old system there was a standard series of events. You know, either this is going to happen or this is going to happen or this is going to happen. But it sounds like it's much more fluid, much more creative, to use a term that doesn't necessarily apply to computers, but that it can kind of make things up as it goes along?
Yes. It has the ability to, in one cycle, maybe allow northbound left to go first and then southbound left. The next phase or the next cycle, maybe they both go together, and the next phase maybe southbound goes before northbound, and all of this time dealing with what we call the side streets, they may be able to be served through part of the cycle and then come back at the end of the cycle and be reserved. So it is something where the motorist needs to hopefully be paying real close attention, because what would typically, as a motorist, we typically pull up, we think, well, we've missed the light, I'm going to sit here for a minute or so, and then the cycle will come back around and serve me again. In this case, it may not. It may serve you in another 15, 20 seconds, and it may serve you only for an additional 10 seconds, even though there may be more vehicles there than 10 seconds can serve. So it's just trying to optimize at each location, and it won't be the same necessarily each cycle.
All right, so the drivers really have to be on their toes, so to speak. They can't be sitting there shifting through their songs or something, thinking, oh, I got a minute before the light goes green for me, because it could happen any time.
Absolutely.
That requires a bit more alacrity on their part.
Well, we're hoping that as the drivers become more familiar with driving the corridor, they will be on their toes a little bit more, because obviously they can be served a little more efficiently. Ideally, they won't be stopping as much either, so they will be moving through, hopefully without the need to stop. But when a stop occurs, you need to be prepared, keep an eye on things, because it will not be as predictable as it was in the past.
So is there a central computer that coordinates this, or is it just a matter of the computers at each intersection talking to each other? Because you mentioned trying to use this as a corridor. I mean, and obviously traffic along, people who are driving on 62 want to move smoothly along 62, Crater Lake Highway.
So each intersection is its own controller, and we designate one of them in about the middle of the corridor. It's actually currently Poplar and 62 is the kind of the central computer, and it's looking upstream and downstream. But the system has the ability to optimize at each individual intersection, as well as it communicates. It knows all the signals upstream and all the signals downstream from each intersection, and will work on a corridor basis as well. So it's optimizing for both a corridor and at the individual intersection.
And so, Alex, how expensive was it to install the system?
The system is going to cost the city about $340,000. We are currently in the analysis phase to determine what the benefits of the system are, and in the next 2 to 3 months, we'll be putting together a report. We have received what is known as a congestion mitigation and air quality, or CMAQ, grant to fund part of this, and so we will be looking at what the air quality benefits are, as well as the savings in fuel from having less stops on the corridor. Initial results have shown about a 20% reduction in overall travel time and stops in the corridor, but that's very early results, and those numbers can change because the system is constantly optimizing and learning the traffic patterns as well.
And how long has it been operational now?
We've had it operational for a little over 2 weeks.
Okay. Let's take some calls here. We have Brad and Ashland on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about traffic lights and the cameras that operate them in Medford with Alex Georgievich, the transportation manager for the city of Medford. Hi, Brad.
Hi. This sounds like a good idea. It's adding intelligence to that very busy corridor that is often so dangerous and so forth. So I like that. However, there's all kinds of stop signs and stoplights in other places that aren't very busy at all that we're required to stop at no matter what. And I am in favor of changing the law at stop signs and stoplights to allow us to move through when there is no cross traffic to stop for. As is, we're stopping for the law because we have to obey it, and otherwise we'll get a huge ticket. But it doesn't make any safety sense to stop at places where there is no cross traffic. So I guess what I'm after is a campaign to change that law, and I would like listeners to start watching at all their intersections where they're required to stop at a stop sign or wait at a stoplight when there is no cross traffic, whether that's a sensible system and whether they could handle moving through that intersection safely without having to stop.
All right, stopping or not. Brad, thanks for bringing that up. And Alex, I imagine you hear this a fair amount.
We get a lot of requests for stop signs, and then equally we get a lot of requests to remove stop signs for this very reason. Stop signs as well as traffic signals are to create orderly movement at an intersection, which is a confusing location for drivers, pedestrians, cyclists, and the idea is to balance that safety with inconvenience to the traveling public. I appreciate the caller's concerns about stopping needlessly, but at the same time, my biggest concern is safety and overall safety of that traveling public. So hopefully we're putting devices in where they are warranted, which means that they've kind of met an equation that says this is the right solution for this location. And when they do that, hopefully there's less of that concern of pulling up when no one is there, because there's actually enough volume at that intersection to dictate the need for some type of device.
In some cases, are the stop signs there just to keep traffic down to a certain speed, particularly in residential neighborhoods, where if the stop signs weren't there, people might be going 45 or so?
I hope not. We use a very rigid set of requirements that are prescribed by the Federal Highway Administration to determine when a stop sign should be placed, but there's always what we term the political warrant to determine the need for these, and sometimes they're there because of not an obvious safety concern, lack of sight distance, things like that. And every once in a while, there is pressure to see things placed where they are trying to be used for an inappropriate use, like controlling speed.
All right, let's take another call. We have Rex in Mount Shasta on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Alex Georgievich, Transportation Manager for the City of Medford.
Hey, good morning. So my solution to the stop sign thing is I call them slide signs. That's a little rectangular sign down below the stop sign. It tells you how many miles per hour you can slide through if there's no problems. But my big interest is the anti-idling. Now, there's a lot of cities, towns around the country that have now put in anti-idling. And I thought that was a fantastic idea. The thing is, at stop signs, what they want to do is have countdown so you know how much longer before you start your engine to go. Anything about anti-idling going on?
All right. Thanks for the question, Rex. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
I'm assuming we're referring to a signal which will determine how long before the signal would once again turn green to serve a phase. Unfortunately, I'm not aware of any devices like that, at least that are allowed under Federal Highway Administration rules, which are what we follow. It is a dilemma because obviously some vehicles start very quickly, some don't. Some people are looking at their cell phones, some people are looking at their child in the back seat changing the radio. So the efficiencies and safety concerns are always a challenge, and I understand the concerns, but I also have to understand that how to balance the safety and potentially even just rear ends from someone assuming the next car in front of them is starting at the same time they are. So,
and as you've indicated twice now, there's not a lot of leeway here within the city of Medford or any other jurisdiction. You're following federal guidelines, probably so that you wouldn't find the traffic laws terribly different in, say, Connecticut as you would in California.
And that's the idea, is we follow what's known as the manual and uniform traffic control devices for a lot of our ways that we communicate and control traffic. This is something that ideally from state to state does not change. So when you drive from one end of the country to the other, the stop sign always looks the same, and a signal always gives you the same indications to move through the signal or when to stop or when to know that it's going to change indication.
All right. The only differences are places like Grants Pass where the stop sign poles are candy striped. And I got to like that, the red and white. Let's take another call. Here's Bill in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Alex Georgievich from the City of Medford.
Hi, I'm in Eugene, so this is a little out of your area, but I think it could go statewide. I have two things I want to talk about, anti-idling and stop signs. As far as anti-idling, up in Eugene, we do start seeing anti-idling signs around. I don't know if they're under city ordinance or just property owners as far as stores, but it's kind of ridiculous. You walk a sidewalk where 30 or 40 people walk every minute, and there's a car there running with an anti-idling sign right in front of them, and they have their doors open, and they're doing it to cool the car down. And they're running their engine with the doors open, and it's like bogus. And as far as anti-idling, I think a lot of people I see, they're just too damn lazy to hit four buttons to open their windows to cool the car down, then let their air conditioner run, you know, and they're just polluting the air for people walk, and they have to have a perfect environment. I think that's just a sign of the fat cat society of Americans. We've got to have a perfect environment at all costs, even if people outside your car have to breathe the fumes and hear the engine running. And as far as stop signs, I think I am against the idea as far as cars not stopping for stop signs. People in cars are in a ton of metal protected. They don't have their life on the line. And it's just an inconvenience to stop for 20 seconds or less to look both ways, where I think as far as stop signs, people on bicycles should be able to go through stop signs, which now they can't. Mm-hmm. And they have their life on the line, and believe me, they're not going to go through a stop sign if other traffic's coming, where a car might, you know, go through a stop sign and not see a bicycle because there's, you know, one-tenth the size.
All right, Bill, thanks for your thoughts. Appreciate it. Anything you want to follow up with there, Alex?
You know, the main thing is obviously the safety controls at intersection are very important for all modes of travel, the pedestrian, the cyclist, and the automobile. We are moving a lot of mass. Physics always ends up winning. And There are locations where if a where a stop sign isn't appropriate, though, there's always a yield sign, and those are the type of devices that better serve lower volume intersections and keep traffic moving. But once again, everything is a balance, and we are all working our best to find the balance between protecting all modes of travel, at least in Medford, and I believe throughout the state, most professionals are trying to do the same.
Back to the cameras then for the system, and it's the InSync system, is that what it's called?
Correct. It's Rhythm Engineering's InSync is the name of their particular product.
And I know there's always, when you start talking about cameras in public places, people think, oh boy, can I get a ticket for running a red light from this? Can my information be tracked? Does the NSA get a hold of this? I mean, what are these cameras used for?
So once again, the cameras are primary use is to allow for the system to detect vehicles. We do have the ability to view the intersections at our computers at our office. We can pull that video signal back, but there is no connection to red light running cameras. There's no ability to get a ticket speeding or red light-wise from any of these cameras.
All right, so basically from the Big X in Medford, from near the Rogue Valley Mall to all the way out to Coker Butte Road is where these are installed now.
Correct.
And that'll make a difference in the way that the traffic lights respond to cars. This sounds interesting. It'll be a lot of fun for driving in Medford now. We'll get a look at this. Alex Georgievich is the transportation manager for the city of Medford. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
We will take a short break. When we come back, you'll hear Garrison Keillor and the Writer's Almanac. That's in a minute 10 here on the Jefferson Exchange.